Okay, so this is February. This is February 20th, 2007, at 1465 Green Street in Pasadena. And I have some questions for Arnold about his parents. You told me a story once about your mother when a married couple who were relatives of her were having a crisis. The wife was very, very angry at the husband. Yeah.
My mother was one of four children. And she was the oldest. And she was a very strong figure. The whole family, I mean, her brother, she had two brothers and one sister. But she was the dominant figure. If there were any troubles among the families, they all came descended on her. And she would be the peacemaker, the war maker, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember one, of course, when the crisis occurred, I'd be sent out into the room, but they couldn't send me too far away because we lived in the railroad flat. You know what a railroad flat is?
I do, but tell me.
You go straight, room to room to room.
Yeah.
And her brother, Jake, apparently started some kind of an affair with a cousin of theirs who lived in St. Paul, and her husband was an insurance salesman, so he came to sell insurance to his family and friends. And his wife, as I recall, is a young boy, was a fairly handsome woman. Well, apparently, I have to remember, I was maybe 5 or 6 at the time, but I'm looking back, something must have happened, because Jake, the brother of my mother, and his wife's name was Bertha, they all came and descended on our flat at 57 Eldridge Street in the Lower East Side of New York, and Bertha began to denounce her husband in front of my mother, that's her brother, for philandering. He denied everything. He swore by the memory of some dead mother, I don't know. And she said, "I know I had you followed." It was really quite a business. And my mother was the one to make the peace. My mother was very strong in that way. You know, people, she was a very dominant person. But the one that she stayed away, she would be the ones who would veto my father's desire to give credit to some deadbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, she dominated him. Mm-hmm. But she had the highest respect for his religious observance.
Hmm.
So that Friday, if things were getting too, you know, there was a custom, it was getting dark, she would order him to go to synagogue. It's getting dark. Mm-hmm. Friday night.
Hmm.
And I'll take over. And she did. You know, she ran the store as much as he did.
Hmm.
And she would condemn him if he gave credit to somebody when she wasn't around, because he was soft. Mm-hmm. My mother was hard.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling on occasion I'd take after her. She was very, very tough-minded, and the toughest one in the whole family of her siblings.
Hmm. What was Jake's last name?
Myers.
Was that her maiden name?
No, the maiden name was Maltman.
How do you spell that?
M-A-L-T-M-A-N. It was in Yiddish, Malzman.
Huh. Which means?
Whatever Malz means, I don't know.
Uh-huh. So, did Jake change his name to Myers?
To Myers, yeah.
Was he also religious? Observant?
I doubt it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody observed Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Yeah. So what happened to her other brother and her sister? Did you ever...
Well, the sister married... She was, I think, a little feeble-minded. She had none of the strength that my mother had.
Mm-hmm.
Or that her siblings had.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a meek person, married to a very dominant husband.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is his name? I'll think of it. One brother's name was Jake. The other was Shulik. Shulik is a diminutive of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Yisrael in mm-hmm. Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So Yisrael became Shulik
mm-hmm.
as a diminutive.
In Yiddish?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chaika. Her name was Chaika.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Oh, there was another sister. That's right, Eva.
Oh, I remember her. Eva, and what was her husband's name?
Louis.
Louis, and they had a candy store.
Yeah.
There's a photograph of them in BC.
Really?
Yeah, I remember what they looked like. I met them at some maybe at Richie's bar mitzvah, but I knew them before that.
What was important about Eva and Louis? They had a candy store
mm-hmm.
up in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
and the candy store also had, usually like a stationery store, magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take the subway from the Lower East Side on Saturday or Sunday and go up to that candy store because I'd read all the magazines.
Oh.
So I knew all about Philo Vance,
uh-huh.
the detective, because mm-hmm. he was in one of the magazines. So I read all the magazines. Mm-hmm. I would just sit there and read magazines. And then once in a while they'd say, how about you want a glass of chocolate milk, you know, something. And I would sit there all day reading the magazines.
That's incredible.
Because right. you didn't have to buy them.
Yeah.
Then I finish, I put them back, take another one. And had a candy store with a stationery store.
Yeah.
And I'd just sit on a chair and read all day. And then I'd thank them and go back home.
They had no children, right?
None.
Yeah. So, wait, and what was their last name?
T-A-C-H-N-A.
T-A-C-H-N-A. Takna. Takna?
Yeah.
So, and then that's the two sisters and two brothers. Who was the other brother besides Jay?
Shulik.
Oh, Shulik. Okay, right, got it. And so when did all these people come to America?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Because it seems kind of did it seem unusual to have an entire family of siblings who had managed to come to America?
Oh, no.
Was it common?
Not common. It was not unusual.
Uh-huh. And where were the parents? Their parents?
They brought the parents. My grandparents. They brought them over.
So you knew your maternal?
As soon as they settled down,
uh-huh.
they brought my grandfather home. My grandmother, I think, had died in this little shtetl, so they brought him over, and he lived with us for a while and someplace else for a while, another
mm-hmm.
brother,
mm-hmm.
so, handing him around. And it was not he was a very heavy smoker and had a terrific cough
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the night, and really, you know, loud,
mm-hmm.
and he died in our house,
mm-hmm.
and I heard the death rattle. It's amazing. You remember he heard that he actually had a death rattle and he died.
How old were you?
Oh, I was in college by then, maybe 17, 18.
Mm-hmm. Was he a very religious person?
Religious, not very.
Not very. Mm-hmm. Were you close to him? It doesn't sound like it.
Well, yes, as a youngster I was, because I helped him make cigarettes. He had those, you know, not rolled and spit on, but you fill a cylinder with tobacco, then you shove it into an empty cigarette holder.
Oh, I see.
You'd buy the tobacco and the cigarette forms, and then you had it. And I love the game.
Mm-hmm.
You fill it up with them and shove it in and pull it out. So to that sense, close. You couldn't be very close because we didn't have the same outlook, you know. He was living in a shtetl and I'm living on the Lower East Side. He doesn't speak English, you know.
He never learned any English?
Nah. Why did he have to?
Right, yeah.
And he lived was one time with my mother, my parents, another time with Sulik, another time with Jake. Time, you know. He was passed around. The idea was not to be a scandal to go into an old age home.
Why was that considered a scandal? I mean, I think I know.
That's why.
You mean because not to be able to take care of someone? Yeah.
Who'd taken care of you and so on. He'd been a little farmer.
A farmer?
And I was amazed when I went to my mother took me to the Catskills one summer for 2 weeks. And mother sat down and started milking a cow. Just, you know, like a professional. But she had done that back.
Really?
Yeah.
So they actually must have lived in the countryside.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not in the
no
city.
Idea.
In a shtetl.
Do you know the name?
Yeah, Ritzev, R-I-T-S-E-V.
And where is it, approximately?
It probably would be in the western Ukraine. It kept moving. One time it's Poland, then it's Russia, then it's Poland, and, you know.
If you look for, say the name again?
Ritzev.
Ritzev on the map now?
R-I-T-S-E-V. I don't know if you'd find that, but you'd find my father's.
Town. Which was?
K-O-L-K-I, Kolki.
Yeah.
And that was near Ritzev. And they all knew each other because these were maybe a couple of miles from each other. No automobiles. And I once asked my father how large, you know, Ritzev was. He says, well, if you came there with a horse and wagon, the horse would be one end and the wagon would be the other end of the village. No sidewalks. Just wooden planks.
So how old was your mother when she came to America?
I never thought of it. I can't. Must have been in the 20s.
That's what I'm just thinking.
See, they were married, and then he came to America to set up, and then he brought her over. So I don't know.
Do you know how old he was? Do you know how old he was?
Maybe 30, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know one thing I discovered, she had a miscarriage.
Oh, really?
Before me. And that I discovered. You remember you were with me when the guy was checking on the name of Beichmann?
No.
Were you with me?
No. You met him at Columbia?
Well, he met me. He went looking for me.
Right.
He was studying the name.
I
thought you were with me because he came. And that he told me about the miscarriage. See, that would have been entered in the records under her name and the Board of Health.
Records.
I mean, every hospital has a report.
Oh, so he found it in a hospital report?
No, in the Department of Health report.
Department of Health. I didn't know people kept such detailed records.
So the Department of Health kept...
No, I know, but I mean that the city kept such detailed records of the citizens. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So you found that out. I remember when that guy came and found you, and it was at Columbia.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about it in detail. So that may be why you think I was there. But I don't think I actually met him. Yeah. But I remember his name and, you know, it all coming up and all. Well, my understanding is that she had a miscarriage before you and she had to stay in bed the whole time she was pregnant with you.
I don't know.
I think Aunt Min told me that.
How would you know that if I don't?
because Aunt Min told me.
Oh.
Maybe I asked. I think she told me that. Yeah. So, and what's the story that in order to force your father to marry your mother, that her father, that your mother's father took the wheels off his carriage?
Oh,
That's a joke?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And the, so then he was serving in the Tsar's army. He was serving in the Tsar's army after the Russo-Japanese War? Is that
not
true?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure.
Oh, dear. Because I have this great story I tell that, you know, he was in the Tsar's army, and then the pogroms began, so he decided, because they had lost the war, and they wanted to distract attention, and so my grandfather decided to come to America, and that's why I wasn't in Europe, and why I'm alive. So I really owe the fact that I'm alive to the Japanese. But you don't think that's... Okay, I'll stop telling that story. The time you came back from synagogue and the super was working on Shabbos and your father scolded him. Tell me that story.
A Jew working on the Sabbath, he said. So the guy said, mind your own business. This is all in Yiddish. And as they're walking up the steps, as he's walking up the steps on the rail, he scratched. There was a nail protruding on the rail.
Mm.
And he jammed his finger into it by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And it started bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother says, see, God punished me.
Mm.
I humiliated a Jew who was working on the Sabbath. How do I know why he's working? Maybe he's got a sick child and he needs the money. What right do I have to judge someone else?
Mm-hmm.
It was a very... What it taught me is God metes out punishment instantly. You do this, bang!
Oh.
It was a very scary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, my father was... God punishes you if...
Mm-hmm.
And punishes you right away.
Mm.
It was a very telling lesson. I don't know if I ever told a story about one Friday. You know, the winter gets dark early, so my father closed early to get a synagogue. And this Friday, he's closing about 4 o'clock. It's getting dark. And as he's closing the synagogue, as closing the store, a guy comes out and says, Beichmann, I need a dozen pillowcases, a dozen sheets. He says, you have to come back on Sunday. But I need them now. Come back on Sunday. So my father and I went off to the synagogue. And I said, Pop, you haven't had a sale all day. How long would it take? This says, you don't know who that was. I was the devil. I told you that story.
Yeah, but this is a wonderful story. Yeah.
I was the devil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean? You'd have come in, and instead of, you know, buying, walking in and buying, you start haggling and bargaining and so on. Then it would get dark, and I'd be violating the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the proof is, see if he comes back on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He never came back on Sunday. So I said, see? I was being tested. It sounds very primitive, but...
Not really.
The guy never even knew who he was.
It doesn't sound primitive to me. It sounds a little bit mystical, but not primitive. Yeah. It's very interesting. Yeah. Do you remember how old you were when the nail, you know, the thing with the super happened and the thing with... Do you remember how old you were when your father said, you know, God punished me because I was judging another Jew? Do you remember how old you were?
Well, I would have been coming back from the synagogue with him, let's say 12, 11, uh-huh. I don't know.
And probably the same with the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Mm. Then you told me another story once in B.C. about... Is it something fell down on top of somebody from a tall building, and I forget it. But your father said, I don't know, there was some reason why it was really good or something. You don't remember it? No.
There is a phrase in the Hebrew, mm-hmm. Gamzeh Latova. Mm-hmm. This is to the good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you say. Something awful happens, mm-hmm. and that God has allowed it to happen. You justify saying, Gamzeh Latova, this will be to the good.
Oh, I see.
And the guy's walking along the street, and a bag of rocks mm-hmm. falls on his head mm-hmm. and cracks his skull. Mm-hmm. And with his dying breath, he says, Gamzeh Latova.
Mm-hmm.
His skull is immediately healed,
mm-hmm.
and the bag of rocks turns into gold pieces.
That's it. Yeah.
Gamzeh Latova.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Everything is to the good.
Mm. What did your mother think of? Did you ever hear your father tell that story in front of your mother?
What's that?
From the way you described your mother, on the one hand, she really respected your father's religious observance.
But she didn't practice it.
Yeah. Well, but she was a woman.
When you're supposed to.
Really?
Of course.
I thought it was okay not to. I thought it was okay not to. If you were a woman.
On the contrary.
Oh, really?
She kept the kosher house. She fasted.
Right, so she practiced that much. But how much, I mean, what else could she have done?
What else?
I mean, you're saying that, but she didn't practice herself, even though she respected his observance.
Yeah, in the sense that on Saturday, mm-hmm. she would sneak out mm-hmm. with my sisters,
mm-hmm.
and they'd walk
mm-hmm.
to Klein's, a department store on 14th Street,
mm-hmm.
carrying money
mm-hmm.
and buy dresses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My father closed his eyes to it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so she didn't observe the Sabbath the way he would have.
Mm-hmm.
But she observed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the meat had to be kosher.
Mm.
And one time she opened up an egg, which I was to eat, and it had a blood spot.
Mm.
And she took it right over to the rabbi
mm-hmm.
to ask him if it was all right to eat it.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
It was all right.
Because you were so poor? No, because you were so poor.
I don't know why.
Yeah. That's what they're supposed to do. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I've run out of questions for now.
Hmm?
I've run out of questions for
Good.
Now, but do you have anything else to tell me?
Huh?
Anything else to tell me about your parents? That's, you know, any other stories?
Well, they were very nice. They allowed me to go to Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to get me to go to yeshiva. I balked. And he did not, I think, understand, not appreciate, he didn't understand my achievement at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
When I became editor of the Columbia Spectator, the Jewish Daily Forward ran a photograph
mm-hmm.
of me with a story about a Jewish boy from the East Side
mm-hmm.
comes editor of a goy paper.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he appreciated it, I don't know. He never said anything,
mm-hmm.
nor did my mother.
Mm-hmm.
See, he was living in a shtetl.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't moved.
mm-hmm.
I mean, the store was here, and the synagogue was here, mm-hmm. and the house was here.
Mm-hmm.
There was, for him, nothing had changed. You said prayers three times a day. You kept a kosher house. You ran a business. And so on.
You know, oh, go on.
I mean, he would have been happy if I'd been a rabbi
mm-hmm.
or studied Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
But he allowed me, you know, to have my way. And to go to Columbia, where the tuition was $300 a year.
Yeah.
And that was money.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to wangle an allowance.
Mm-hmm. You managed to what?
Wangle an allowance,
uh-huh.
weekly allowance, until. But of course, I was a waiter in the dining room, so I got food that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't try to force religion on me.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been hopeless if he had.
Mm-hmm. You know for a fact that he read that you that he you know that he you're sure that he read the article in the foreword about you becoming the editor?
Inevitably.
Uh-huh. And he never mentioned it?
I can't remember.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing.
It was out of his world. You don't understand. He'd never moved out of his shtetl.
Yeah, but I mean, still, if your son is in the newspaper, no matter what it's about, you say, oh, you know, you were in the newspaper, you know?
Well, maybe he did, but
yeah.
It was not anything he saw. As if I'd been announced as the rabbi of the synagogue,
that would have been.
Would have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't understand what the editor of a college paper was.
Sure, yeah.
He had no vision, no concept of that.
Right.
Which is why we had no conversation, you know. At a certain point, there was no communication.
Mm-hmm. And Miss said that when he talked about you or your mother talked about you, they always referred to the son. The son. Zaisin, is it? How do you say the son?
Einzin, yeah.
Einzin. That's, they never called you Arnold or anything like that. They always talked about you, you know, as this the important, you know, the son, you know, the sort of head, of, almost as though S-O-N was S-U-N, you know, in the sense
That's
of
right.
central. Yeah, yeah.
The only son.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's talking?
Oh, I think it's the TV or something. Do you have a TV in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah. Okay, this is enough. 26 minutes.